Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Let's stand together, if you would, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1. Probably the greatest Mother's Day verse in the Bible is found in these readings. And it says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, now that was not a physical son, but a spiritual son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember this, that before you can have peace in your life, you must have the grace of God upon your life. Verse 3 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now this is it, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, you being Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the reading here in the Word of God. Lord, may it be a blessing to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy is not only the second letter to the young preacher Timothy, but it is thought to be the last writing of the great Apostle Paul before his martyrdom. It was written from the Mamertine prison in Rome, as Paul awaited death. And because Paul was a Roman citizen, they would not crucify him, but they would remove his head. In this epistle, Paul writes special instructions to his dearly beloved son. He deals with the personal walk and testimony of a true servant of Christ in a day of gathering apostasy. May I say this, we are seeing apostasy in our country today. We are seeing lies come from all sorts of areas, not only in our political world, but we're also seeing it in our religious world. And Paul was trying to tell him how to walk. In what we call chapter 1, Paul sends a personal greeting and encouragement to Timothy. May I encourage you that know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You remember that day in which you told the Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and Lord, please come and live within my heart, forgiving me of my sins. To you, I encourage you to remain faithful to the cause of Christ. Boy, that was weak, Pastor. It certainly was. I am encouraging you to remain faithful for the cause of Christ. Amen. See, if the church is not willing to stand for the cause of Christ, you can't expect anyone else to do it. Don't expect NBC or CNN to care about the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ must be shouted for from the church. That is our job. Not just Pastor Paul or Pastor Stephen or my dad in years past or our deacons. It's all of us that know Jesus Christ the Savior. We have a job to do, and I think we've dropped the ball. We've become comfortable. We've become complacent. We have actually gotten to the point where we really don't care. As long as nobody's bothering me, I won't bother anybody else. But do remember this, Jesus Christ bothered those people in his day. They hated Jesus Christ. They hated him. And he tells us, if they hated me, they will hate you. But see, we don't like to be hated, and I understand that. I understand. But folks, life is short and eternity is long and hell is hot, and we've got to warn people. There is a warning that needs to be proclaimed, and all too often the church has become silent on the need to repent and to get things right with God. And Paul encourages Timothy to remain strong and to forge ahead and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Some believe that Timothy was evidently under much pressure and maybe even had become discouraged in the ministry. And may I say this, the pastor of this church sometimes become discouraged, not usually because of the lost, but because of the sinner, of the saved, because they have become complacent, as I've said. Paul, knowing his days were short, urged Timothy to forge ahead. In verses 3 and 4, we find that Paul's deep love for Timothy is seen, and he thanked God daily for Timothy. May I say this, we ought to thank God daily for what he did for us on the cross of Christ. Jesus, being God, was willing to die for you and for me. And he tells us that those who believe him will have eternal life, but those who do not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior shall suffer the wrath of God for eternity because they have rejected God. And the sad thing is, so many of our people today in our country have absolutely no idea what it means to accept Christ as their Savior. They were doing a survey not long ago asking how many people go to church today. Now, there was a time, and some of you will remember, Sunday church was just automatic. Lakeside Mall, do you remember when it was built? They weren't open on Sunday. Well, we know that stores weren't open. There weren't near as much things on television. People came to church because it was the thing to do. But how many people go to church today? If I were to ask you this, do you believe 50% of Americans go to church on any given Sunday? Would you say yes or no?
No.
If I were to say, do you think that 25% of Americans go to church on any given Sunday, would your answer be yes or no? The answer is no. If I were to ask you, do you think 15% of Americans go to church on any given Sunday, what would your answer be? The answer is no. Less than 10% of Americans go to church now on Sunday. They have other things that are more important. May I say this? There's nothing more important than serving God. There's nothing more important than having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about knowing Christ as your personal Savior. And Paul was telling Timothy, keep up the good work. Don't be ashamed of the cause of Christ. Be willing to make a stand. And he thanked God daily for Timothy and his willingness to be used of the Lord. But then, as I said in verse 5, what I think is to be the greatest Mother's Day verse in the Bible. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, may I say this, may our faith remain strong, undiluted, no matter the cost, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Three generations of genuine faith in Timothy's family. We were singing happy birthday to Mrs. Prince over here. And what a blessing the Prince family has been to the Covenant Baptist Church through the years. And we do know, of course, that Mrs. Prince had a number of children, and two of them are with us weekly, Debbie and Diane. And they have their kids, and now we have another kid. We have four generations. Is that right? Four generations today here. Isn't that marvelous? I think that's great. And that's the way it ought to be. The church, if nothing else, should be growing from within because our people are wanting to be involved in the work of the Lord. Little is known of Timothy's father other than he was a Greek. But obviously his grandmother and mother were followers of Jesus Christ. May I say this? I am so proud that my mother knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. I'll be talking a little bit about my mother tonight, but we need to remember how important it is, mothers, to be a Christian testimony to your children. To your grandmothers, to be a Christian testimony to your children and your grandchildren. And then the second greatest Mother's Day verse is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were in chapter 1, now chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. From a child, I believe it's important to teach our children about Jesus. I thank the Lord for those who taught my children in Sunday school. I thank the Lord that we were able to send them to a Christian school after they'd been in the public schools for a while. I thank the Lord that both Don and myself were able to share with our children the cause of Christ. I believe it's very important that children know how great Jesus is, that he is our Creator God, that we are not here by chance, that we are not here by accident, but there is a purpose and a plan, and that Jesus Christ came to die for us. And we need to teach our children that. I mean, they may have the best of video games. They may have the best of media, be it cell phones or the iPads or iPods or whatever else they may have. Those things are fine and dandy if used properly. But the greatest thing a child can know is Jesus Christ. The greatest thing. Give your child everything but Christ, you have failed. It has been said that children are a gift from God. They're precious. But you are responsible to tell them of Jesus. Shall we stand together? 401, only trust him. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And if you have, are you obedient in following him and in trusting him? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this invitation time, asking that your will be done, that the Spirit would move and hearts could be touched. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.